KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy, windy, and 52 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today with a high around 59. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In the news, the list of landowners suing the federal government over major flooding along the Missouri River since 2006 has grown considerably. The lawsuit filed against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in March was amended Thursday to include 436 plaintiffs. The latest additions to the lawsuit include 38 North Dakota landowners and the Omaha and Winnebago tribes of Nebraska. The landowners argue that the Corps' decisions since 2006 have contributed to flooding, especially during the extended 2011 flooding that devastated hundreds of thousands of acres, mostly farmland in South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. The federal government has denied the allegations and said the Corps shouldn't be blamed. Landowners say the recurring flooding deprived them of their land, so they should be compensated. An Atlantic teen was arrested Wednesday on a drug charge. The Atlantic Police Department said Thursday 17-year-old Logan Nielsen had been arrested for delivery of a controlled substance, marijuana. Nielsen was cited and then released to a parent. The Page County Sheriff's Office cited a 13-year-old female Wednesday following a domestic disturbance at her home. Authorities said Thursday the deputies responded to a home in the 2300 block of P Avenue at around 6 p.m. Wednesday. During their investigation, they learned 40-year-old Wendy Miller had gotten into an argument. During the verbal dispute, the teen allegedly kicked Miller in the face and arm, causing injury. Miller told deputies she wanted to pursue charges against her daughter, who was cited into juvenile court and released to the custody of her father. The Page County Sheriff's Office reports also 20-year-old Tori Grace Perry of College Springs was arrested at around 9 p.m. Wednesday in Clarinda. Perry was taken into custody on a Fremont County warrant for violation of probation. She was unable to post a $10,000 bond and was transported to the Fremont County Jail. Authorities have confiscated homemade chemical-based explosives from the home of a student in the northern Iowa town of Rolfe. Ron Humphrey of the State Fire Marshal's Division said about a quarter pound of the explosive was found Thursday and that the material could have seriously injured someone had it exploded. Pocahontas County Sheriff Bob Lampe says an adult and a juvenile have been detained and will be charged. Classes in the Pocahontas Area Community School District were dismissed early Thursday afternoon as a precaution. Superintendent Joseph Kramer said there were no direct threats against the school, its students, or staff members. A Creston woman was arrested Thursday evening for violating a court order. Creston police report this morning 30-year-old Alicia Lovell was arrested at her home for violation of a no-contact or protection order. Lovell was being held in the Ringgold County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Prosecutors have dropped murder charges against an Iowa woman who admitted to causing the head injuries that killed a 3-year-old girl at her in-home daycare. Rochelle Sapp of Orange City pleaded guilty Thursday to involuntary manslaughter and child endangerment charges under a plea agreement in the death of Autumn Elgersma. Sapp admitted she dropped the toddler to the ground and also admitted to multiple acts of child endangerments in prior months. Prosecutors dropped a first-degree murder charge, which would have been a life sentence for Sapp. Second-degree murder would have required 35 years. Judge Edward Jacobson sentenced Sapp to an indeterminate sentence of up to 100 years. Drake University law professor Bob Riggs said the 34-year-old Sapp will serve significant time, likely around 15 to 20 years. Shelby County emergency management officials, including fire chiefs, law enforcement, and emergency management, will begin twice-weekly updates on local fire danger conditions. Signs placed strategically in each community, primarily at the fire stations, will indicate what the fire danger is for any particular day. The program, which was implemented in 2010, resulted in a reduction of fire responses countywide. The continuous bi-weekly fire danger assessments are provided by email to the media, fire chiefs, and others who support the program on their web pages, through radio and cable TV information pages. This has, at times, according to officials, reduced the need for the county to implement a complete burn ban. When someone has the need to burn a pile of brush, debris, or buildings, they're asked to contact the Shelby County Emergency Management at 755-2124. The dispatchers will obtain the location and nature of the planned burn and will provide the caller with the fire chief's contact information. Through this expanded communications process, authorities say they found some burns can be rescheduled to a different time of day where the wind and moistures are more acceptable. The fire chiefs can have input as to how the burn can be conducted safely and be aware of the activity should it become unmanageable. Now, Shelby County has four color-coded distinct levels. They include low, where you're asked to call in and report your burning projects to the dispatch center and notify your local fire chief. Moderate fire conditions, you're asked to call in as above. And timing for burns should be implemented in the morning or evening hours and extinguished by dark. The burns must also be monitored. When the Shelby County fire danger is high, burning of any kind is restricted unless approval is received from your local fire chief. And control burns that are not reported will result in the fire department being dispatched and your fire extinguished if it's determined to be unsafe. And under extreme fire danger conditions, burning is prohibited unless you have a signed permit from your local fire chief. Fires on extreme days can grow rapidly and pose a risk to health and the safety of your community. The American Red Cross is encouraging eligible donors to make a point to give blood before the busy holiday season arrives. Blood donations often decline between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day as people become busy with their holiday festivities. Donors are needed in the weeks leading up to the winter holidays to help prevent the seasonal declines. Donors of all blood types, especially those with types O negative, A negative, and B negative, are needed now to help maintain a stable blood supply. Blood donations appointment can be made through the Red Cross Blood Donor app, which is a faster, more convenient way to schedule and manage donation appointments, especially for donors who are on the go. The app also allows users to track donation histories, earn rewards, and invite others to join them on a life-saving team. The app is free and available for download in app stores. Donors can also visit redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to learn more about the donation process and to make an appointment. A complete list of upcoming blood donation opportunities is available on the same story under the news tab at KJAN.com. But here are a couple of the local sites. In Exira, there'll be a blood donation opportunity November 3rd from noon until 6 at the Exira Rec Center. And in Griswold on November the 4th at the Griswold High School from 8:30 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones on Wednesday signed a proclamation designating the week of October 24th through the 31st as Red Ribbon Week.
Be it proclaimed, whereas alcohol and other drug abuse in this nation has threatened the essence of Atlantic families, whereas in the imperative, the visible, unified prevention education efforts by community members, we continue to eliminate the demand and availability of drugs, and whereas Atlantic Middle School Builders Club, in collaboration with local organizations, is sponsoring a national family partnership Red Ribbon Week campaign, offering citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their commitment to drug-free lifestyles, and whereas this campaign will raise awareness, encourage family talk, and make educational materials available when sought out from these organizations, and whereas businesses, governments, parents, law enforcement, media, medical, religious institutions, schools, service organizations, and youth will demonstrate their commitment to healthy, drug-free lifestyle by wearing and displaying red ribbons during the week of October 24th through 31st.
And on the website redribbon.org, there is a pledge that parents and citizens can take to demonstrate their commitment to a drug-free lifestyle. In our funeral announcements, Glenn Eugene Vogue, age 83, of Elkhorn and formerly of Harlan, died Tuesday at the Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Glenn Vogue will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Eleanor Hodgson, age 92, of Clackamas, Oregon, and formerly of Avoca, died Friday, October 10th. Funeral services for Eleanor Hodgson will be today at 2 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Ted Rummelhart, age 76, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Ted Rummelhart will be today at 2 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Gary Junk, age 60, of Atlantic, died Wednesday near Avoca. No services are planned for Gary Jonk, but a visitation with his family will be this evening from 6 until 8 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Maxwell, age 71, of Atlantic, died Thursday in Omaha. Funeral services for Mary Maxwell will be Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Elizabeth McCool, age 84, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Elizabeth McCool will be Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Atlantic, with Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.